This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up. Welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, the next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearing centering host, Matt Soroka. And as always, I'm joined by a guy who, oh, wait a minute, did Lamar just throw another interception? The button lover, Josh Soroka.
What does Lamar's interceptions have to do with me?
Well, no, I was just interrupted our podcast to say, oh, there's another interception.
Gotcha. That was an ugly game Sunday night. But like Ravens fashion, the Ravens always find a way to pull it out.
Were you at all, did it cross your mind maybe after Huntley got the win the week before, after interception number four, maybe pulling Lamar Jackson for Huntley? That crossed your mind?
You know that's not a serious comment that you're making. I'm trying to even remember. At least one of them was not his fault. There was one that bounced right off a guy's hands.
I agree. One out of the four weren't his fault.
Yeah, the others, I don't know what was going on. But ugly game. It's nice to see our defense step up and play some football. Tell you what, thank you to Southwest, because I got to watch the game in its entirety thanks to Southwest on my flight. They had the internet up and running, and I was able to watch it on the flight. And then once I landed, I switched to YouTube TV on my phone to watch the rest while driving home.
Nice. So that sounds dangerous, really driving home and watching YouTube TV, but to each their own.
It was mostly listening, glancing over occasionally.
Josh, are you a proponent that the all that matters is you get the W at the end of the day? We're sitting at the top of the AFC conference, top of our division. Does it not matter how we get there as long as we win?
For an interdivision game, yeah, all that matters is a W. But here, the problem is what I think I was talking about last week. The problem is that we play them again in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So if we thought that their defense was tough on Blitz and Lamar, and Blitz and Lamar was working, they're going to blitz Lamar even more next week.
Yeah, I'm a believer in teams going on hot streaks and hitting their peak at different points in the season. Like Patriots, for example, are peaking right now. Yeah. Early in the season, you saw other teams get off to hot starts and peaking and then struggling a little bit. We see that all over the place. And so, I mean, the Ravens haven't even come close to peaking yet. They haven't even come close. I think maybe the Chargers game was the closest they played to a kind of a good all-around game. And so I'm hoping that kind of we'll get it together by the end of the season. And I want to be playing our best ball at the end of the season. So I'm okay if we're struggling and still winning, because it gives us a chance to peak here at the end.
Right, right. Big game still to go with the Steelers this week and Browns after that, and then I think it's the Packers the week after that, maybe. But hey, 8-3, right? Isn't that a record? 8-3. Can't complain about that.
We found
the way to get the W, as you said.
And we play the Steelers next. Does the Steelers concern you at all? But they're a joke of a team, right? After what the Bengals did to them.
Yeah, I like the meme going around. Everyone point to the worst quarterback in the AFC North. And it's all the other quarterbacks pointing in different directions, all at Big Ben in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield, I think, gives him a run for his money. But yeah.
Did you notice on the broadcast how much they love Baker Mayfield and how they were trying to give excuses constantly for Baker Mayfield throughout the game?
Yeah, I know how much they love Greg Roman. They were saying tons of nice things about Greg Roman. That's true. I was like, someone needs to tell the Raven fans that, because the Raven fans don't feel the same way about Greg Roman.
Yeah.
But
it's a win, and it's always nice to have Justin Tucker on your team.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not – yeah, we use Justin Tucker way too much, though. You need to score a little more touchdowns, a little less field goals, make everyone slightly a little bit better.
That's right. They helped me out in my bookie. They scared me, but they helped me, but they got the win.
Got the win.
And they got the cover.
And they covered, yeah, by six. I mean, I think the future of this division is clearly going to be Ravens-Bengals for the next several years. Like, that's it. The Browns-Steelers are on the decline, I feel like. And Cincinnati and Baltimore for the next several years are going to be going at it with some great games. So I think that's good. I think Cincinnati looks really good. I'm just super impressed with them.
The Steelers have to be understanding now that they should have took a quarterback last year, that they've waited too long. They don't even have someone in the wing, like, prepared to take over.
Yeah, I mean, it's two ways to do it, right? Like, the Ravens drafted Lamar when they still had Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. I guess that's one way to do it. I don't know. I mean, I understand if you're Big Ben or Aaron Rodgers or whatever, you don't like wasting a top draft pick, right? Your number one overall draft pick when you're the quarterback, right? I think one of the things that the Ravens did, I think the Ravens were fortunate in that they were able to take Lamar Jackson with their second pick, even though he was at the end of the first round. Mm-hmm. So you weren't wasting your top pick on him. You put your second pick on him.
Right.
Because, like, if you're going to draft a quarterback and you want a good one, unless you're Tyler Heineke, you're probably going to need to use one of your top picks, probably your top pick, to draft that quarterback of the future. So whatever. I don't think it's a big deal. But it's good for us. They'll draft a quarterback this offseason, and he'll suck next year, and so it's all good for the Ravens.
Yep. Yeah.
Josh, there's been a lot of baseball stuff going on, too.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of rumors and some deals getting done.
A ton of deals getting done.
Signing. They're rumored to get another.
Yeah, the Orioles have been active. The Orioles, all no bad news coming from the Orioles. I'll say that. I mean, we can debate what's good news, but no bad news coming from the Orioles, which is surprising, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's none of it's bad news.
Right. All right.
Where do you want to start? Before we get to the rumors, the Orioles did re-sign one of their own.
Yes.
Right.
There was three of them, right?
Was this an avoid arbitration move?
Yeah. I mean, I think they had an option here with Means, Scott, Mancini, Santander, Lopez, Fry. This was the group who are arbitration eligible.
Yes.
So they could choose to, there's a couple options here, right? You can sign them now. You can tender them a contract and you fight about the number and you don't agree and you go to arbitration. Or you could non-tender them. You can kind of let them go because you don't want to pay the money.
Right.
And what happened today is the Orioles did. I think, I don't know how much of this is surprising, but they agreed to terms and they signed Paul Fry, Jorge Lopez, Anthony Santander. So those three guys are coming back.
Yep.
They also tendered contracts. We don't know what the exact number is yet, but they're going to work out the number. They tendered contracts. So these guys are staying with the team as of now to trade Mancini, John Means, and Tanner Scott. So that whole group that was eligible to either be non-tendered, to kind of let go. You see a lot of teams letting people go who kind of get too pricey in arbitration. That's not the case with any Oriole players. All the Oriole players are coming back. I know some people thought that Lopez or Fry was on the bubble. Both those relievers are coming back. Santander is coming back. And there was a little bit, some people were talking about Mancini maybe not coming back, which was, that never made any sense to me.
Well, he
was always coming back. And so he's back.
There's still talk of trading these guys.
You can trade anybody at any point.
As you saw this contract, you could still trade them.
Right. You can still trade John Means and Cedric Mullins and trade Mancini. We could be without Mancini, Mullins, and Means next year.
Well, that's the rumor, right? The Orioles.
And you could also trade Ryan Mountcastle and Adley Rutschman if you wanted to. You are allowed to trade those players.
Can you trade the warehouse?
And Grayson Rodriguez. No, but you can rename the warehouse and make some money and use that money to go sign somebody.
That's true. We could change from Oriole Park at Camden Yards to Oriole Park at Safeway Fields.
Is there a player that the Orioles could sign, Josh, that you think it would be worth it to change the name forever on the warehouse to PetSmart or whatever?
For one player?
for one, if you could do one player, and now it's Oriole Park at PetSmart.
Yeah. I mean, Max Scherzer already signed, but yeah. I'll give up the, I'll put a big sign on the side of the warehouse for Max Scherzer.
Yeah. For 37-year-old Max Scherzer?
Yeah, yeah. For whatever, $37 million a year or whatever he's getting.
Different eye color, Max Scherzer.
Yeah. That's got to creep out the batter.
Yeah. Josh, were you, and I want to get to some of the free agent signings, including Max Scherzer, because I got some comments about that. Okay. But before we get there, we just went over the names of Fry, Lopez, Santander, Mancini, Means, Scott Allstein. Did any of those moves surprise you? Are you unhappy with any of those moves? Are you pleasantly surprised with any of those moves? How do you feel about any of those moves?
None of them surprised me. They're none of them are big money. They're all small. They're all guys with potential. They're all guys that could be either be part of this future or be trade candidates in July. There are no locks on this list. They're all guys we hope can be part of the future. So.
All right, yeah.
I think, yeah, we're going to gamble a little bit more with these guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a small downside, right? If you downside. If it doesn't work out, then, you know, you go a different direction next year. I think the only one that surprised me a little bit maybe was Paul Fry, but he's signed for less than $1 million, and he had a bad second half of the year last year, but we saw 2 years ago how good he could be. I'm really glad. I'm really happy about Jorge Lopez because I think he could be a really effective bullpen, and I want to see him a full year of him in that seventh inning role. Right. And so I'm actually excited about that, I especially because how atrocious our bullpen was last year. I'm excited about him in the back of the bullpen.
And am I wrong to still have hope for Tanner Scott? That I still feel like he can put this together?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the stuff. Yeah, he's got the stuff. And he's shown for short stints he can do it. He can be, and if he's on, he's one of the best relievers in baseball. He is. He's one of the best relievers in baseball if he's on. The problem is he's off a lot.
Right, right.
So yeah, I mean, I think this is a perfect opportunity for him. If this was 2023 and we're talking World Series hunt, I'm not loving Tanner Scott on my team.
Right. We're still on the incline part of the rebuild.
Yeah, yeah. There's room to try these guys out. There's room to run them out there. You don't need to have, you know, clearly we don't have every kind of position set. So, another 4 year of Tanner Scott, I think, is something worth trying.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Do you want to just put these stupid rumors and fans getting all fired up about knowledge that the Orioles are taking calls on John Means or Cedric Mullins? Do you want to just settle Oriole fans down now? Make it nice and simple?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think Mullins and Means are as good as gone.
No, you don't. The truth is that they're listening to everyone. When you're a team that plays below 500 ball, everyone there's a price tag on everyone. No one's priceless.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, my take is on it. It sounds stupid to say that you would hang up on any GMs. Like, you're not going to hang up on the GMs. But my thing is, I also think they're untradeable. So I think they're untradeable.
I think they're not tradable for draft. Like, you're not trading them for minor leaguers or draft people. You would be trading them for major league caliber stuff at the same caliber, which kind of makes them untradeable.
That's my point, because you rarely ever see major league talent traded for major league talent, right? It's often major league talent for prospects.
Right. And we're not at the point to give up major league talent.
Right. Especially guys who are under control for the next four or five years.
Yes.
That makes no sense.
Right. You're not going to push the timeline back when you're bringing Adley Rutschman up.
Yes. Because trading of Mullins and Means would set things back. Like, yes. Like 2023 for me becomes completely off the table at that point. Because those are key positions. I know you say we have other outfielders. You really don't have another elite center fielder that's just waiting in the wings. You have some corner outfielders. And starting pitchers, you don't have five good starting pitchers in the minors waiting to come up. You have Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall, and Kyle Bradish. And chances are they all three won't work out. and you have John Means.
Right. These are two guys who are key parts of your rebuild. If you're going to go over 500 next year, you need these guys.
Yes, and it's not like a Trey Mancini situation where he's in the final year of arbitration. That's not this. These guys are younger, and they're under team control for a while. Yep. The only reason I'm listening, because you're right, I wouldn't trade them, and then people always come back with stupid things. This sounds like something that you would say, Josh. Well, what if they traded Mike Trout for, you know, John Means? And then, yes, you would make the deal, but that's not – no one's calling for that. Right. But they're only calling with prospects. So the only reason I'm listening, if I'm Mike Elias, is just I'm curious. I'm curious about how other people value my players, right? Like, I want to see, whoa, do you view Cedric Mullins last year as, like, that's who he is? Or are you not a believer in Cedric Mullins? Like, I would just be kind of curious on how you view my players. And also informs me, maybe when next offseason, when I want to go out and make a trade for someone in the caliber of a John Means, well, what are other teams giving up, right? So you can kind of compare and take notes. So, like, it's always good to gather information about kind of what teams are willing to give up and what negotiations are like. But, yeah, I think there is literally zero scenario where he is either Mullins or Means is seriously considered being traded because
– Agreed.
Because – I mean, I don't think Elias wants to wait 10 more years to win either. I mean, I think Elias is ready to start winning soon. And not this year, but next year. Next year.
Yeah, Elias, a lot of people want to say, oh, well, all Elias cares about is draft picks. If all Elias cared was building the minor league system, he would not be the right guy for this job. He's getting the draft picks in order to win at the major league level.
Yeah, and if he trades Mullins or Means, then I'll be on board with that, that all he cares about is draft picks and prospects. He doesn't care about the amazing squad. I'll be on board with that. But this is kind of the 3 to 5 year rebuild is right on schedule. They found a freaking diamond in the rough. They got lucky with Cedric Mullins. They got freaking lucky because he was a bum who turned great kind of on his own. I get that you don't hang up on people, but there's also zero chance that either of these guys are traded.
Right, you're not selling these guys cheap.
I don't think you think it's selling high. I mean, if someone knocked on your door with their two best starting pitching prospects who were in single A at 19 years old, I don't think you're taking that deal. I never understood that. Why would you take a guy who has 5 years team control, who's really good, and you know he's good to great, for a guy who could potentially be good or great? Like, take the good or great you have as opposed to a guy who could maybe or maybe not be good or great. Like, come on now. It's obvious. You keep these guys.
Yeah. No, I agree.
The time for selling off assets is done. Now, you can trade a Trey Mancini. You can trade some of these. You can trade a Tanner Scott if you really wanted to. You can trade some of these lesser pieces, but you don't trade the Santander. Absolutely. Trade Santander for nothing. I don't care. But you don't trade these cornerstone pieces at this point.
Right. And right now it might be – right now there's three cornerstones, Mullins, Means, and Mountcastle. Those are the three guys on the Major League roster at this point that you're going to build around.
Yes.
That you're not going to trade. And you're going to bring up Adley. You're going to bring up – some pitchers. You're going to bring guys up, but you're keeping those three guys as your everyday guys to build around.
Yep, and you have guys who will be up next year who are going to – so all of a sudden that three guys are going to be five real quick when Adley and Grayson get here, and then maybe become six with D.L. Hall gets here. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and as you're – right, and that's what it takes to – that's how a rebuild works is you start with zero. Now we've got three. Opening day, we should have four, maybe five, and we keep going.
Yep. And then next offseason, you sign one or two of those key cornerstone guys.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, these guys are the guys that we want to give extensions to.
One other note about the Orioles. Also today, they did sign or about to sign Rognet Odor.
Yeah, a one-year deal.
A one-year deal. It's not official.
Second baseman.
Yeah, it's not a – well, he's 27. I can be washed up when you're only 27 years old.
And well, he hasn't had a good year. He's been a few years since he had a good year, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he's ever had a really good year. I think he came up with Texas with high accolades.
When you're known for throwing a punch, not for how you played second base.
Well, I don't think it's – yeah, it's about who you punched is the key with that one.
That's true. It's not even about the punch. It's about the fact that you punched Batista.
Yeah, if it wasn't Jose Batista, if it was anybody else, no one would even remember. But it was a great – and you don't see – you see skirmishers all the time in baseball. You rarely see a solid punch land. And there was a solid punch land on Jose Batista. So for that reason, I think Oriole fans are inclined to like him, even if he's not very good at baseball.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. He can play – I mean, this is like – he could take Franco's place at third, right? This is your second base / third baseman.
Yeah, and if he can, if there's a, I mean, he's still in the league because people think he can at some point get that bat back together again.
Well, and not to get all nerdy on you, but I saw, I should give him credit. I forget who he is. A guy on Twitter put out there took a screenshot of his exit velocity,
okay,
and his barrel percentage rate. And this is something the Orioles are known to like when they draft college hitters, their barrel percentage and their exit velocity. And so this is Odor does barrel a lot of balls, and he does hit the ball hard. And so in that way, he kind of fits this Orioles profile. I know he's not a high on base percentage guy. He's a low batting average guy. He's has some pop, but doesn't really hit for average or get on base a lot. He strikes out a lot. But he does have that barrel rate and exit velocity working for him. But, yeah, it's a you hope you get a trade prospect for him at the deadline again type deal, 1-year deal. Maybe you can trade him at the deadline if he's any good.
He's projected to bat 207 next year. Of course, that's just a projection.
Yeah, it could be 197.
Yep.
And I mean, Josh, does it concern you at all that
it was 167 this year?
Does it concern you at all that he could be taking at bats away from people like Jamai Jones?
No.
Or people like Jorge Mateo?
Don't care.
Okay.
I see those guys as bench guys.
Okay.
I see those guys as Ryan Flaherty type.
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, this could be a situation where I forget the guy who signed last year at second base and then he didn't even make it out of spring training. Like, it could be another situation like that where you see him at spring training, like, no, this isn't going to work out. I'm sure it'll be not very much money.
Yeah. What was it? Like 1 million?
I don't think they announced the terms yet. I couldn't find them announcing the terms yet.
I thought I saw. All right. I'll have to look check. Yeah. But yeah, again, Mike Elias likes to do this low risk situations. And this is a low risk signing.
Yep. All right. Other Orioles news. There was, I'm just going to throw this out there, and then I have some. I want to talk about some of the other signings for other teams because it's really interesting how this free agency is playing out. A, that's been so active. B, who's signing these guys? I think it's kind of shocking the baseball world. But B, before we get there, on a podcast or radio show today, Josh, Carlos Correa, shortstop. Former shortstop, former Astros shortstop, now free agent.
That he hasn't signed yet.
Hasn't signed. I'm not going to mention. I could mention. I'm not going to, but I could mention how he has ties going back to Mike Elias and the Houston Astros. Elias was the one who drafted him. I could mention that he happens to play a position high need for the Orioles that we don't have any answers to now or in the near future. I could mention how he's, you know, I think the youngest or one of the youngest free agents out there, so he makes sense on a rebuilding team. But I'm not going to mention any of those things. I could also mention that we can afford him, given how much we're paying the rest of our team. But I'm not going to even mention that. Right. All I'm going to say is that Carlos Correa was on a radio show or podcast earlier today, and he said that he would be willing, Josh, to go to a rebuilding team. He said that. He'd be willing to go to a rebuilding team.
All right. But hold on. But that's not about us.
No, he wasn't speaking about any specific team. They just kind of asked.
No, he is talking about a specific team.
What, you think he's talking about the Cubbies?
No.
You think he's talking about?
He was spotted last week having lunch with A.J. Hinch.
Okay.
It's the Detroit Tigers.
Well.
But the Detroit Tigers signed a shortstop today.
Yeah. The Tigers have any money left?
Not really. But they also filled shortstop, so they don't need Carlos.
I know
that's my guess of who he was talking about.
Okay, but maybe he wasn't talking about any team. Maybe he was just talking about mentally he could do and if he would be willing to sign at Detroit. I mean, Detroit is Baltimore, right? Like, there's no – I don't see a big difference in there. So if he's going to sign Detroit, why can't he sign at Baltimore?
So you're telling me that's why the Orioles outrighted Richie Martin to Norfolk tonight?
To make room at shortstop.
To make room at shortstop.
Yeah.
For Carlos Correa.
I'm just saying. It makes sense to me in my head. I don't love Odor Mateo as my up the middle infield, but Correa Odor is something I get behind.
Correa, anyone I'm good with, yeah.
You could put Correa and you out there, Josh. I'd be good with that infield.
Yep.
But bring back Jerry Hairston Jr., have him play over there by Correa. I don't care.
I know. There's not even any rumors about Correa.
No.
Every time I look into Correa, it's all fans posting stuff. There's no rumors, nothing. I just want, with all these mid-level signings or high-mid signings, I want Correa to go somewhere so I can take it off my wish list.
Yeah, Josh, it seems to me, I'm not saying this is why there's quiet, but I will say this. I'm not saying this, but I'm saying this. The Orioles, I think now under Mike Elias, are super tight-lipped. Even reporters can never get the jump on anything. I mean, they'll freaking announce a contract extension a year after the contract extension happens. I mean, the Paul Fry thing, Rocco Baco didn't know Paul Fry if they're going to offer him a contract. The next minute, he's offered the Orioles announced they offered him a contract. Like, even the guy most plugged in, Rocco Baco, has no idea what the Orioles are doing. True. And so as far as, like, if the Orioles are working on something big, which, by the way, they're not signing Carlos Correa. But if they were, I'm pretty sure you would hear nothing about it until it happens, because the Orioles are very hush-hush at the top, all throughout that organization under Mike Elias.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. I could see – you're right. I'm trying to think, and even like this Odor sign-in, it's they're getting their news from other people, not from the Orioles. The Orioles are definitely quiet. So I would assume there's no way Mike Elias has not made a phone call about Correa, especially with the history.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pipe dream. And I think Mike Elias, you know, I mean, it would have to fit into his plan and the money would have to make sense. And it's probably not. But yeah, I mean, for example, the Odor, you mentioned the Odor. I think that was reported first by Dan Connolly,
who's
famous, the Athletic, who's famous for having a bunch of contacts under Dan Duquette and then losing all those contacts when Dan Duquette left.
Yes.
I know that's been talked about a lot with him. So, yes, I don't know how plugged in he is. So, to your point, like, I don't think anyone's plugged. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone else, if a mainstream guy got it and then in the Athletic – and then kind of gave it to Dan just to give him an announcement since it's his team, and it really was someone else who's got it, to be honest.
You want to have fun, go to Twitter and Google Carlos Correa Orioles, and it's a bunch of random people with saying how the Orioles have signed Correa. Details to come soon. But then you look, and it's like all fake people, like a fake Ken Rosenthal, a fake Jeff Passan.
If I want to do some more blocking, I should just go Google that or search that. Because I love to block people on Twitter.
Orioles.
Who
Correa also happens to have the longest home run in Camden Yards history, by the way.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, he hit it into Legends Park.
Any fake names are immediate block for me on Twitter. Yeah. Immediate block fake names.
It's a big waste of space.
Yeah. I assume they're all middle schoolers too, but maybe that's not true. Maybe that's a stereotype of fake namers.
The problem with fake namers is how they have like. Like, I clicked on this fake Ken Rosenthal, and he's got 9,000 followers.
Yeah, what are you doing?
9,000 stupid people out there.
Yeah, yeah. That's – I don't get that. If we want to kind of pull away from the Orioles, any other thoughts on the Orioles free agency move? This free agency so far with the Orioles, it's been a frantic free agency, the likes of which you've never seen before, but the Orioles have been totally inactive until today with the Odor signing. But this surprises no one, I think, right? I don't think we expect the Orioles to make a splash.
No.
In December.
If you sign one of these big shortstops, that's huge news.
Yes.
And that's get excited. Right now, it's not, as an Oriole fan, it's not a time to like, it's still a time to start to get excited and pay attention because we're on the upswing.
Yeah.
But you make one of those big sign-ins and it's time to get excited and take an opening day off and get ready.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a game changer if you're even if, Josh, to me, it's a game changer even if you're in the running. Even if Mike Elias is going after it. Like, that, to me, is a game changer. But, again, we might never hear of that.
Exactly. Even if it happens. That's my thought is we might not hear about the – Mike Elias doesn't share those things, so we might not hear.
Yeah. A couple of general notes about free agency. It's just been kind of crazy. Of the top 25 free agents – according to Fangraphs.com, 15 of them have already been signed, which is kind of crazy.
Okay, but none of the top 10, right?
No. Oh, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the top, 6 of the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, most of the big names, right, are coming up the board. And what's also crazy, to me at least, and kind of shocking, is who's signing them. So on the one hand, like, I'm looking at the top 50. I just have the top 50 pulled up. And the notable absence from the top 50 list is I don't see the Yankees.
Right.
Haven't signed anybody. And I don't see the Red Sox. Haven't signed anybody.
But the Blue Jays have. And that one stings a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays signed Kevin Gausman, but they also lost the Cy Young winner, Robbie Ray. So. Okay. That sounds overall like a, you know, a little bit of a downgrade when you lose Robbie Ray, who's pitched and had success in the AL East, and you get Kevin Gausman, who has had success pitching in the NL West, but not in the AL East. It seems like a downgrade to me, but Toronto did sign Kevin Gausman. I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, you know, we're happy for Kevin Gausman, good for Kevin Gausman getting that money. Kevin Gausman's dead to me. I don't care. I'm not happy for Kevin Gausman. I don't care. About Kevin Gausman. Does it make me happy that Kevin Gausman signed $100 million? No, I get no joy out of another person signing a $100 million contract. Oh, Kevin Gausman. Poor Kevin Gausman was only making $18 million last year. I'm so glad he made $100 million this year. No, I'm not happy for Kevin Gausman. That dude could retire. He could retire 2 years ago and have more money than I will ever make in my lifetime. So get out of here. No, I don't feel good about Kevin Gausman getting $100 million. Whatever. He's a Blue Jay now. I'm going to boo him when I see him next. And this is a guy, Kevin Gausman, friend of the show. I sat down with him. I shook his hand. Yep. He signed a baseball for me.
Yep.
We chatted. He has cool tattoos. But he's dead to me now.
Dead to you.
Yeah, and I'm not happy for him. They sent him now. I don't understand people who are like that.
Leaving the country.
Yeah, he's leaving America. Good riddance. No, but if you look at, like, Texas – who we would consider, you know, small to mid-market team, signed, you know, Marcus Semien and also signed Corey Seager, which is a pretty good infield. But that was for $500 million. Signed those two guys for $500 million. The other teams have been super active in the top 25. The Mets, right, have signed 1, 2, 3, 4 guys in the top 25. Detroit has signed 2 guys in the top 25. The Giants, San Francisco Giants, have signed 3 guys in the top 25. And then you have teams like Miami who signed someone in the top 25. It's just been, I mean, the Dodgers aren't here. The Red Sox aren't here. The Nationals aren't here. The Mets aren't here. All these other teams are here, Josh.
The Mets are here.
Oh, the Mets are here. I meant the Yankees. I meant the Yankees aren't here.
But that's...
I said the Nats, too. The Nats aren't here.
Yeah. But this is part of the CBA stuff. This has something to do with the CBA questions about the CBA.
That small market teams are being so active?
Yes. Because the rumor is with the CBA is that one of the big issues is the luxury tax ceiling and the luxury tax floor, that they want to make a floor and raise it up to $100 million, so every team has to spend at least $100 million, which would then incentivize the smaller market teams to sign more people. and that they want to lower the luxury tax from $210 million to $180 million, which will then disincentivize the big market teams of spending more money. So you're not going to go way above your luxury tax level like the Yankees, Dodgers are used to doing if you think that's going to get lowered by $30 million.
Yeah, that's fine. I hear you.
I know you hate everything about the CBA and that it's going to expire tomorrow. And all
it doesn't see, it doesn't seem to be any signs of it not expiring tomorrow, right?
Right. Yeah, it's going to expire tomorrow. The question is whether or not they're going to do a lockout. They don't have to do a lockout just because it expires. But if they feel like they're not making any progress, they do a lockout to try to get things moving. But they've met for a total of like 3 hours since Thanksgiving. Two 30-minute meetings today. Yeah. So they're not really making much progress.
Yeah, it's not encouraging. We're not even sitting down for a long time.
Right. But that's what I think is going on with these sign-ins. Is I think those big market teams rightfully are concerned about this luxury tax.
Yeah. Josh, how does it make you feel that the Orioles currently have an open day payroll of $37 million, and Max Scherzer just signed a deal to make $43.3 million a year? So Max Scherzer makes $6 million more than our entire opening day roster.
Sounds like a great spot to put Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Sounds like we got money to spend.
You know what's also interesting about the spending money this offseason? I was looking at fan graphs where they do kind of they predict, right, how much they do, like their reporters predict and do a crowdsourcing on what they predict. And usually the crowdsources goes a little bit higher than the authors do. But the article writer, the bloggers. But this year, the crowdsource numbers, in every case but one, in the top 25 free agents, every single signing guy except for one has signed for higher than the crowdsource prediction of how much they signed for. So, for example, they predicted Simeon would sign for 4 years, $23 million a year. He ended up signing for 7 years at $25 million a year. And this is true. You go right down the line. For example, Robbie Ray signed with Seattle for $23 million a year over 5 years. He was predicted to sign 4 years for $18 million, so $5 million more a year and an extra year. And this is true in almost every single case.
Teams are anxious to try to get stuff done before this CBA expires?
Oh, there's no doubt.
And because of that, they're overpaying?
There's no doubt that teams are spending more than anyone thought they would. I mean, the Scherzer thing looks insane. He was crowdsourced to do 3 years at $32 million a year, which was the highest of any free agent, and he's done three for $43 million a year. And so it's higher than every deal is like this. So clearly, this is kind of what's crazy about a lockout. The owners must be making more money than ever to be able to spend this money.
Well, that's part of the issue going into this is that the players' arguments going into this have been that for the past 5 years or so, everything has adjusted towards the owner's way.
Right, but tell that to Max Scherzer, who's making $43 million a year this year.
Right, the owners aren't doing a good job with crying poor when they're spending more money than ever.
When free agents, so the baseball players can cry poor, but the free agent baseball players this year are making more money than ever and more money than anyone thought they would make. Right. So the deals are longer than people predicted and therefore more money than anyone predicted.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
I mean, it's not bad for baseball. It's good to see these good players going to lower level teams. That's good for baseball.
Yeah, and good for the Orioles. But if you look, also, I thought like last year, sometimes they just blank on names. That pitcher, the pitcher for the Dodgers, who you wanted the Orioles to sign, who turned out to be kind of a sleazeball, Trevor Bauer. People thought with Trevor Bauer's deal, right, where you maybe start seeing this trend, where players would just take a 1 or 2 year deal for a lot more money. for a lot more, you know, AAV, a lot more money per season. But it's not the case. Like, if you look at this year, the top free agents are signing Marcus Semien for 7 years, Gausman for 5 years, Robbie Ray and Eduardo Rodriguez for 5 years, Corey Seager for 10 years, Javier Baez for 6 years. You just have these players signing, still signing these long-term five-plus-year deals. It's kind of wild.
The guaranteed money.
Well, I mean,
it's hard to turn that away.
Well, it's totally understandable from a player perspective. I'm just surprised that owners are still doing 10, 6, 5. Like, Detroit's a small market team. They signed their two guys for 5 years and 6 years at $23 million a year and $15 million a year. They're paying them for the next 5 and 6 years. Just surprising.
Yep.
But good on them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, good for the players. And good for the teams, and if the CBA stuff can help balance out some of that low-level teams to get them to spend more money, good for the Orioles.
Yeah, and that's
well, and it's good for the fan base.
Yeah, and I mean, it gives you hope that the Orioles could get in that action too, and also gives you hope that, like, I don't know, I just always assume the Yankees will sign every top free agent, and so far that hasn't been the case.
Right, right.
If you look at the most money spent by free agents so far,
right,
was Texas, okay, by far, at $561 million, but $500 million just on those two guys. Then the Mets, then the Blue Jays, but again, the Blue Jays almost all Kevin Gausman. Mm-hmm. Then Seattle, then Detroit, then Houston, and I don't know. This might not be updated because this was from yesterday, and there's been a lot happening since yesterday. But anyway, those are a lot. There's a lot of mid market and small market teams. Even Miami is making some signings.
It's all hope for the Orioles.
Yep.
And you're right. We're not going to hear rumors about the Orioles doing something. If the Orioles sign Correa or Story or one of these guys, it's just going to happen. I doubt we're going to hear for days about the Orioles being involved in conversations for these guys.
Yeah. You know what's also weird? This is, and I've been part of doing this too. So, like, I'm criticizing myself here, but how Oriole fans get on any reporter who brings up their lack of payroll and their lack of spending money. Like, Oriole fans will hate on any reporter who mentions anything about our payroll or that we're not trying to win.
True. But to be fair, a lot of these reporters have also done their best job at hating the Orioles.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a little bit funny because, like, I tend to kind of – I would rather the Orioles spend more money. I would rather the Orioles – if they signed Carlos Correa, they would still be near the bottom of the league in payroll. Like, it's not like they would jump to the top. Like, I would still rather the Orioles spend money. So I feel weird. It feels weird to me that Oriole fans are defending not spending any money for the major league product. Like, I get why. I get it's part of the plan and the process. It's just weird to me to have the Orioles – be defending ownership and Mike Elias for not spending money.
Well, it's more of, we've had this conversation before. Oriole fans are really sensitive and very defensive of their team.
Especially if outsiders. Yeah, outsiders.
Right. So it doesn't matter. You could have Ken Rosenthal write an article about how the Orioles aren't spending money and people will attack him saying that the Orioles are on the right path. And at the same time, Jeff Passan write an article about how the Orioles shouldn't spend money, and Oriole fans will attack them, saying Orioles need to spend money. So it's more about, with Oriole fans, it's not about what they believe. It's about defending their turf.
Yeah, and I get that. I like that. I like that. I get that. Even if you're irrational sometimes, I like it. I get behind that. It just always kind of makes me laugh. But this is kind of off season. You know it's bad. Here's how you know it's a bad off season. Another bad off season, where there's more chatter from Oriole fans and Orioles Twitter about who's being DFA'd by other teams, who's being non-tendered by other teams, than there are about actual free agents. So it's like we don't care about free agents who are actually good and cost money.
Trash we can pick up.
We're looking at who did the Pirates. One of the worst teams in baseball. Who did they just cut? Oh, they just cut Cameron. We should go after him. Like we get excited about the Tigers cutting Matt Boyd. Like there's a reason other teams cut these guys, And I mean, and maybe we'll pick a guy up. I saw we picked up Lucius Fox. He was on our team for
Lucius Fox.
Right. We picked him up. He was on our team for a good, what, 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
Then we drop him. Again, there's a reason. And I look forward to the days where the Orioles offseason is more excited about signing free agents than picking up players that other teams don't want.
Well, maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow is the Carlos Correa day.
You think so?
No. But maybe. There's always hope for tomorrow.
Is the reason, I think another reason for the free agent signings, Josh, is because if there is a lockout, the players, the teams want to have these players under contract so they can do the baseball activities or whatever.
Well, that's where it gets tricky.
Okay.
Because if they do a lockout, so the CBA expires tomorrow at midnight. So hopefully that means tomorrow is another busy day of free agent signing, hopefully for the Orioles. Then the owners have the right to do a lockout. If the owners do a lockout, that kind of sucks for the Orioles, because what that does is means players cannot go to Sarasota and develop. They can't work out on team facilities.
So no baseball activities.
Like us, it's no baseball activities at team places.
Okay.
So you would hope that these guys would go and do it on their own. But you can't tell them to do it on their own.
If anybody wants to meet up at Brodick Park, get a little game going on there.
I mean, it's similar to like you would hope it would be like the lockdowns where baseball stuff was all shut down because of COVID, and we saw players getting together and doing their own trainings together.
Yeah, sure.
You would hope you see some of that. But it doesn't gear you towards your own team, your own players, especially for young guys like in the Orioles organization, like a guy like Kerstead, who has, like, to be able to use the facilities in Sarasota like he's been using all winter is huge for a guy like that.
Right.
That to have that locked down, and then he'd have to go to – that's why you would see a lot of guys go to, like, Vanderbilt or wherever they went to college.
Right.
And work out. And that's not as easy, one, because of weather-wise – going into the winter, and two, with a lot of these younger guys, they don't have the relationships or the money that the veterans have to continue this.
Right. Yeah, I just wonder if, yeah, because, I mean, I think where it really comes push to shove, like, there's a deadline of, I don't know when it is, of probably sometime in January, February, where it takes a while. I mean, the spring training is obnoxious, but it takes a while for players to kind of ramp up and get their innings in, specifically with pitchers. And so if you start pushing into spring training, that's going to affect the regular season.
Right.
And so if you can't sign into free agents right in the next month, it kind of puts you behind the eight ball if you can't, you know, all this kind of stacks up and you get behind.
Right. So we haven't had a lockdown since, or a lockout, strike, whatever you want to call it, since 1994. So what you want to watch, the key dates after December. December 1st is a huge key date at midnight. Then if they do a lockout, I hope they don't, because it will hurt teams like the Orioles, as I just mentioned.
Yeah.
But the next key date is going to be really kind of January 1st. If there's no deal by the beginning of January, it's time to start getting concerned. If there's no deal at February 1st, then there's a little bit of panic that the season might start.
Right, because you start affecting spring training at that point. Yeah,
and
yeah.
If you don't have a deal by March 1st, who knows
when the season. And April 1st opening day is looking unlikely.
February 1st is the deadline to really start spring training on time.
Right.
So it's really like look at those key dates as the first of every month.
Right.
Everyone you pass, get a little more concerned.
And it's not like football where you don't really need any preseason games. Like, pitchers need the spring training games. Like, they need the innings.
We saw this year, as silly as we thought it was, we saw that there was definitely wear on the pitchers going from a short season to a full season.
Yeah. At the end of last year, players are getting shut down left and right. Yeah.
Right. So what we really don't want is another short season.
Yeah. I agree. It would be a disaster.
As exciting as all the CBA stuff is, and as exciting as not CBA, but the signing tendered free agents and non tenders and signing free agents, if they don't make a deal tomorrow, all that comes to a dead stop. Forget rumors. There's nothing. There's no conversations. There's nothing.
That sucks. That's why they're doing it now. Yeah, because they know they might not be able to do it. And if you're a free agent, honestly, I mean, you would kind of like to know where you're going, right? Like, I would rather know where I'm going if I'm going to move my family somewhere and get ready to play than I would in, you know, February. We have to rush and hurry and all that.
That's what sucks for all these guys who were non-tendered today, is they have one day tomorrow to try to sign with another team.
Yeah.
And they're going to be sitting here like, I don't know if I'm playing next year.
And the optics of this is just, I can't even wrap my head around it. Clearly, the owners are making a ton of money. Players, I've never signed such big contracts. So on the one hand, you have everyone making a ton of money, and then you're going to have a work stoppage because they can't agree upon money.
Billionaires versus millionaires fighting over pennies.
Yeah, like I understand it, but I also, like, just from a, you step back a second and look at it, and it's so stupid. It's like, what are we doing here?
Right, and from the optics, they really can't afford it.
No, they can't afford it, and they should know better. And even a long fight is going to be, every day it drags on is worse for baseball.
I've came to assume it's not happening tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
but if this drags into January, that's concerning for baseball.
Yes, I hope it ends by early January at the latest. Yeah, absolutely. We should see. But maybe we'll get some, at the end of the day, I hope we get some good things out of it, like a universal DH. No one better touch Thoreau's number one draft pick. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. I kind of like this idea of, well, there's been a few things leaked out. One of 14-team playoffs. But the interesting twist on that is the better teams get to choose their opponent, which is interesting.
Yeah, I do like the better team choosing their opponents. I like to incentivize winning and better records, and that gets a little bit kind of strategy and fun too. Yeah,
it makes it more like schoolyard, and like I like when baseball kind of goes back to like what we all love about baseball. It's why it goes back to the same reason why I thought like the Field of Dreams game and stuff was really cool, because it
yeah maybe
more on the game.
Maybe this is a step in the right direction, and the next step could be we could start other teams. Get to choose who the pitcher is for the other team.
Well, no, don't take it too far.
You could choose to have, you know, Chris Davis up there pitching or whatever.
But I like that. Yeah. I'm intrigued by the free agency thing, trying to get rid of the arbitration stuff and just you're a free agent at 27 and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
Instead of 7 years.
Yeah,
I like that because it then incentivizes you to bring the guy up early. Like, it makes sense. Then bring up Manny Machado at age 20 and you get him for 8 years, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they come out of it with.
Yep. Yeah.
After a $40 million payroll, I like the idea of a floor and force the Orioles to spend $100.
Yeah. I mean, that's weird because the Orioles also spent millions of dollars building international facilities and stuff like this, and coaches and all that stuff. So, how do you define? It's almost like you got to look into the books, and no one's ever lets people into the books. But it's almost like baseball's got to look into your books and say, okay, are you investing money in this team?
Yeah.
Even if it's not the amazing squad, are you putting a certain amount of money into your team?
Right. Yeah. But I think that's all to try to build more parity, and I think parity in the NFL works really well.
Parity is almost works too well.
Yes. Yeah. In the NFL, it sometimes seems a little bit that way. But I think a little bit more parity in the baseball would be good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It seems like this offseason, hopefully we're working that direction with all these mid-market teams with these big signings. But, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. But with no Oriole news... we at least have a backup plan for Section 336.
We do.
So when there's no news, we're not going to take off and just disappear and see you next season.
And we're going to do a
podcast.
We're going to do an art and decorating podcast.
Right.
Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, craft time.
Craft time with Section 336.
Exactly. So we're going to do – when I was up in Maryland this week, we recorded our first What If episode. We've talked about it on here, kind of teased the concept. So we recorded a What If Chris Davis, where Matt and I discussed some alternate timelines for Chris Davis what would happen if we didn't sign Chris Davis? What if they didn't ban the shift? Or what if they did ban the shift? What if he didn't get suspended for Adderall and some other things? And I thought it was a really fun kind of
different way
to do a podcast.
It was fun because you could talk a little bit about recent Orioles history and go over some ideas that we talked about in the past and kind of revisit some things. So yeah, it was fun.
And I think a lot of people just try to simplify the Chris Davis saga and make it one little thing of, oh, he's not good, we wasted a bunch of money on him.
Right. And I think after doing the podcast, I think maybe we blame him for a bit too much and say, oh, if it wasn't for that, we could have done this and this and this and this, but maybe not.
In the podcast.
maybe we would end up exactly where we are today, even without Chris Davis' contract.
And I think we made some good arguments in the podcast about maybe what killed Chris Davis.
Yeah.
So you guys can check it out. It's out now for our supporters.
Spoiler alert, it was another team in the AL East that killed him, but okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Big percentage, yeah. But check it out. You can get to it on Patreon by supporting us on Patreon or on Apple's podcast. If you support us over there, you get it as well. It's out now for supporters only. I'm thinking it'll probably be out for everyone in January, especially with the CBA stuff. When things are slow, that's when we'll probably put it out for everyone. But we're really happy with it. We think it's a good thought experiment. We think we're going to be doing some more of these what-ifs, but we want to get your feedback. But it's also a chance for you to support us. So check it out under Patreon or under the Apple Podcasts supporter tab thing. It's out there now. And check it out. And then it's only, $3.36, I believe, if you want to support us.
Yeah, and let us know if you like it. Let us know other ideas you have for what-if episodes regarding the Von Orioles.
From some Patreon listeners already.
All right, cool. Excited to do those. All right. You have any ball fours, or are we just going to wrap up and get out of here?
I mean, I can put together a ball four. You want to do some ball fours?
I really don't have anything, but
I'll tell you the one thing I brought back from Maryland. I brought some Bucky pretzels to Maryland.
Right. Your pickled flavored pretzels.
Your family.
Yeah, okay. Not
what
me.
What I brought back from Maryland is a cold. So
welcome to the world of small children. I've had a bad cold for the past 4 months. It's now my life.
I haven't gotten sick in 2 years. I haven't gotten sick since moving to Florida.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's your kids to blame or the cold weather to blame.
You're not around little snot-nosed kids all the time. I blame that.
Kids were around me a lot, so I'm guessing it's the kids.
Yeah, probably.
So, but because of that, a little ball four, I've been watching Yellowstone.
Okay, I never even heard of that show.
Started watching it in Maryland with Gigi, and I've been watching a ton of it, trying to recover from this cold, just laying in bed at night. So I know I'm late to the bandwagon. There's 4 seasons in, but I am now a fan of Yellowstone.
Okay. Is it about the national park, or is that a dumb thing to say?
It's in Montana. It's about a ranch in Montana that Kevin Costner owns. Haven't seen any Cal or Kelly Ripken appearances yet, but Kevin Costner.
He's in the show?
He's the main guy on the show. That's why I watched it.
All right.
See, now you're intrigued.
Well.
Next episode is 90 minutes long and really boring.
Okay.
And I only continued to watch it because your brother-in-law told me to keep watching it after that episode.
All right. And then, it's kind of like that invasion show with Apple. You got to stick with it.
Did you stick with it?
Yes, in episode 6. Was, I think, one of the most suspenseful episodes of any television show I've ever watched in my life. Really? Episode 6.
So
yes.
You're saying, I haven't watched it since episode 1. You're saying I need to continue?
Well, episode 1 through 5 is really boring. But episode 6.
That's way too long.
Episode 6 is incredible.
It's like when I tell people, check out Breaking Bad, but the first 2-3 episodes are really depressing. You got to just fight through it.
Well, I felt the same about, in a very different way, Parks and Rec, where it literally took me to like season 2.5.
Parks and Rec, I just
stuck with it because everyone kept on telling me how good it was, and it took me forever to get into it.
The first season when they were trying to be The Office sucked.
It took me literally into season 2.
Yeah, they finally figured it out. I agree with that.
Yeah. All right, that's our ball four.
Yeah, that's ball four. A couple TV shows. Yellowstone, Invasion.
Yeah. All right. So. Well, like Josh said, support the show. Go to section36.com. You can support us or and follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at section336. Well, I'll just pretty much tweet out things about Carlos Correa until he signs with the Orioles or another team. I'm assuming the Orioles. You can also follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Rokas.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's and go Ravens. And go sign Carlos Correa. Everybody knows we ain't messing around.
Everybody knows we ain't messing around.